Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Mary Kissel, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, now Executive Vice President at Stevens Incorporated, to help me interpret events that we're getting from Afghanistan, from Qatar, from around the world about the State Department working extremely hard and in unknown circumstances to provide for the people from Afghanistan who are escaping the threat of the Taliban. This is the State Department's job. It's hard to see because it's not in uniform. It's not carrying a weapon. It's not what we would say is the sharp end of the stick. It is, however, now critical that the State Department conduct its opportunities to extract as many people as possible from fear of the Taliban. I begin with a report from the New York Times about the State Department and its charge. Some Afghan military interpreters and other close U.S. allies, a stated priority group for evacuation from Afghanistan, are being turned away from the Kabul airport by American officials in order to give priority to U.S. citizens and green card holders, a State Department official said on Monday. I stop there because I turn to Mary and say, the State Department's job is to process visas and to help American citizens and green card holders in other countries. They're working very hard right now. However, Mary, I want to understand, is this routine for the State Department to be in crisis matters, in crisis countries, in capitals and cities after disasters? Are they trained for this kind of challenge? Good evening to you, Mary.
Good evening, John. It's great to be with you. I think the short answer to your question is no. The State Department is not trained to be in the kind of chaos that you're seeing right now at the Kabul airport. And as to why they seem to be turning away special immigrant visa holders in favor of American citizens or green card holders, you know, that's an order that would have to come from Washington. That's a policy decision. I suspect that it's a policy decision that was made on the seventh floor of the State Department, so-called Mahogany Row. It is not something that would have been made, for instance, by the Assistant Secretary for Consular Affairs. It's a call that would have to be made back at headquarters at the highest level of government.
I'm recalling the early days before the fall of Kabul, and the SIV was a major component of the decision-making to provide security, help, rescue to people who had reason to believe they would be targeted by the Taliban. In fact, Mary, my memory is it wasn't just the interpreters who were identified. It was their families. It was all these people who we were believed at risk. This appears that we've gone back on our word. That's what it appears to be. And is that a fair interpretation, that people at the State Department would be feeling mournful that they were not able to process because of a decision that had been made subsequent to the promise?
I think so, John. I mean, you have a lot of very committed Foreign Service officers, locally employed staff, and others who are probably working, you know, 36-hour shifts to process as many people as possible at that airport right now under very dire circumstances and under threat, frankly, of a terrorist attack. But, you know, the Consular Affairs Bureau at the State Department works about as fast as molasses in the best of times. So, again, I just want to reiterate, it comes back to leadership. You have to have people at the top saying, this is the plan, this is how we're going to coordinate, not only within the State Department, by the way, which has a number of bureaus that would be impacted by a situation like this in Kabul right now, but also among all of the other agencies of government, most notably the Department of Defense.
We also go to a report that we had in these last hours from U.S. Central Command and from people who's visited the airbase in Qatar, Al Udeid, very large airbase in the middle of the desert. The conditions are extremely unacceptable. We're talking about no air conditioning in a large facility meant for weapon systems, not human beings. I do not have a count of how many people have been ferried to Qatar and put into this facility. But according to the reports, we're looking at very, very bad hygiene. No provisions for children, for women. The sleeping conditions are impossible. People are sleeping on the floor. I could see that from a video that was provided. In addition, we're now seeing that we have rat infestation at this facility. And all of this is said to be part of the writ of the State Department, not the military. I don't know. I can't sort this out. But it does suggest, Mary, that the State Department was not ready for the scale of the evacuation underway. Is that a fair judgment at this point before we get more facts?
Yeah. Again, the short answer is yes, for sure. Clearly, there was no planning here. And when you're flying people out to a location like that, of course, you have to work in conjunction with the Department of Defense to set up the facilities in advance. And this is something that the State Department had the capability to do. There was a bureau that was set up called OpMed that was specifically designed to do this type of coordination. And unfortunately, it's been completely cut off at the knees by the Biden administration. The State Department, it is true, has medical officers all over the world stationed in embassies, but you're talking about, you know, a single doctor or a physician's assistant or a nurse, you know, one or two people at many of these places, whereas, you know, OpMed could have sent in you know, dozens of doctors and other medical professionals in there to handle the situation if they had been utilized, but unfortunately they haven't.
Let's talk about OpMed, because you directed me to an article in Vanity Fair that was extremely, extremely inspiring. This was a team put together, I guess, prior to the pandemic, but worked very consistently during the pandemic to deliver vaccine and aid and solutions to people around the world. It was a team put together. I didn't get the head count, but it was put together under a man named William Walters and led by young people who have a motto about, well, the Quaker model is way will open. We will find a way. OpMed is no longer functioning, if I understand correctly. What did it do during the pandemic that would be useful now, Mary?
Well, as Vanity Fair reported, OpMed emerged, as they put it, quote, from the ashes of Benghazi, when in September 2012 you had terrorists attack the consulate and kill our ambassador, two CIA directors, and an information management officer. So it was a capability that the State Department lacked. Doc Walters, as he is known, put together a team of about 64, 65 medical professionals. These folks came from really a vast variety of backgrounds. I got to know them very well when I worked at the State Department for Secretary Pompeo. And they did a number of functions. One of the things they did is they traveled with the secretary to make sure that, God forbid, if he had a medical event, that they would be physically right there standing next to him. But they engaged in some really, truly heroic work. They evacuated American citizens from Wuhan and others, about 800 people, in February of 2020. They assisted in the repatriation of more than 100,000 American citizens during the pandemic. They dealt with vaccine distributions to our many embassies and consulates around the world, which enabled those folks to then subsequently go out and deal with all the problems that American citizens had, and they could do so safely. But the Biden administration and, you know, some of the career medical team at the State Department just decided that they didn't like this group and they wanted them gone. And so they advised the management of the State Department to put it on ice. And that's what they have done. I'm told, and I think this is probably new news to your audience, that they're now doing limited to no future contingency planning. They sent just a couple of medics to Doha to deal with these Afghan refugees. This group is entirely demoralized. Many of them are looking for new jobs. And, you know, the idea that the State Department didn't need these folks and somehow had this capability is simply nonsense, John. Several administrations, Democrat and Republican, realized that. And the tragedy is that you know, we're paying for this in lost lives, because if these folks had been engaged earlier this year, maybe in April or before, when the president had made the decision to withdraw from Afghanistan, they would have engaged in the kind of interagency contingency planning that would have anticipated situations like, gosh, what if we have to get, you know, 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 Americans out of Kabul? What are the resources that we need to put in place? What are the medical resources in place? How, you know, what would DOD do? What would other parts of the State Department do? Do we have to preposition people? I mean, this is exactly the work that Op-Ed was doing. And the idea that this team is physically sitting in Washington right now, when we see these scenes of chaos and death at the Kabul airport, is to me absolutely disgraceful. These are committed civil servants. They are medical professionals. They are trained, also many of them in weaponry so that they can protect themselves and their principles while they're over there. I really feel for these people, John. I think they're heroes. And, you know, at the very least, that bureau ought to be not only stood back up, but it ought to be bolstered.
We have from Axios this report from Colin Sullivan, a supervisory special agent, visiting the facility at Al Udeid Air Base. Remember, this is an air base in the middle of a desert. It's extremely hot. He emails, "A humid day today where the Afghans are housed is a living hell." He goes on to say, "I spent an hour in there picking up trash, almost suffocated. Another flight arrived and there's no resources to solve the sanitation problem. These human beings are in a living nightmare. No AC. We're in the middle of a humanitarian crisis that compounds itself with every flight that lands in Doha. Hangar update. They now have a rat problem." Now, Mary, reading that, is there anybody at state to respond to this? Is there anybody who would say, get on a plane and get everything you need? Because what I took from the Vanity Fair piece was State Department sees its job as diplomatic and not operational. If I understood it correctly, do they have an operational wing that would get to that hangar and help those people?
Yeah, that would have been Op-Ed. But now what you have is a seventh floor at the State Department, an executive team that has reconsolidated those capabilities into the kind of traditional medical staff who have no operational training or contingency planning experience. They obviously can't handle it. They've also layered more levels of bureaucracy. They have several deputy chiefs of staff, for instance. So they've added more layers of decision making into the process. Again, John, this was completely avoidable. And I just want to reiterate, because I know there's been a lot of criticism of, you know, DOD and state, and I get that. But at the end of the day, it comes back to leadership. I mean, you have a lot of military people who want to go in and fight their way to get the Americans out. You have a lot of State Department people in this Op-Med team, for instance, that would like to be engaging in the kind of planning and capabilities that they're perfectly capable of engaging in, and going over there and putting themselves in harm's way to treat people and to make sure that, you know, we get as many American citizens out as possible. There's a lot of frustration within the ranks right now. You don't see it because these folks don't talk to the press. And that Vanity Fair article that you mentioned, I would commend that to everybody. It was published, I believe, in May of this year. You can go to vanityfair.com and read about it. It's called "Inside the Secretive Government Units, Saving American Lives Around the World." That's who these people are. These are heroes. They ought to be engaged, and their responsibilities ought to be expanded, not destroyed.
Mary Kissel, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, now senior executive vice president, Stevens Incorporated. When we come back, we're going to turn to the larger story of the U.S. and its allies. Trouble. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.